It's Jamie Foxx. At BetMGM, everyone gets a welcome offer. Get up to $1,500 in bonus bets when you sign up if your first bet doesn't go your way. You know I love a good welcome. Hey there, friends. I'm here to treat you right with BetMGM. A warm welcome to our new customers. I see you out there. I know you got what it takes, so take out that phone, tap that BetMGM app, and bet, baby. You know what it is. There's a bonus bet waiting for you. Oh, that's the good stuff. Get on in here. Get your welcome offer and play with the sports book born in Vegas, where they know how to treat you right. Download BetMGM and bet.
See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369, New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in Palazzo Podcast, two L's, two Z's on this fabulous
Utah. Friday. Give me two.
That's right. Give me two. It's your boy, Mike Virginia, joined, as always, the Tennessee Kids himself, Britton Allen. Happy Friday, my friend. How's everything going?
It's going, and I got to get my energy level up, Mike. So what I did was, it's 6 o'clock Central Time, so I'm drinking coffee. Which is a big no-no. They say don't do that. But I say, I got to get fired up. It's kind of been a long day today, but I got to get fired up because there's a lot of good baseball to talk about.
I hear you, brother. I'm with you. Michael Govier will be joining us later today, probably in like 15, 20 minutes. He's stuck in the tunnel, quote unquote, coming back from work. So, I forgot to bring up the show sheet here, Britton. So I'm going to bring that up right now.
It's all right. I'm just going to keep sipping on this coffee because it makes my face a very unnatural shade of red, crimson, I would call it.
Kind of like your shirt.
Kind of like my shirt. I guess that's true. Maybe it's reflecting off each other. I don't know.
Well, welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining in. This is, I believe, our sixth episode for Draft Prep here, Britton. A lot going on in the baseball world, as I'm sure you could probably understand with spring training. Everyone and their mother is posting their TGFBI results, a.k.a. me. We got a lot packed into the show today. For those of you guys who are just tuning in, happy Friday to you. Use the live chat. You got questions for Britton and I. Please feel free to drop them in the into the live chat here. We're happy to help out. And of course, Bizza Rizza Jizza already starting off this show hot here, Britton. Says the O's starting pitching minus G-Rod. G-Rod absolutely stinks.
Well, yeah. I kind of like Dean Kramer.
I know I like
he's pitching right now. Yeah, he's not terrible. He's all right. I always thought that they were going to re-sign or try at least try to re-sign Corbin Burns. I guess he made a personal decision to go out west where he
lives out there, his family. Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. Grayson Rodriguez is hurt. And so that's kind of a bummer way to start the season. So you know what that means, Mike V? The offense is just going to have to hit more runs. That's all that means.
That's all that means, man. Yeah, Cade Povich has looked good this spring. I know we take spring training with a grain of salt, but it was between him and Suarez for the last rotation spot. So now with Grayson likely opening up on the IL, which I believe they already said he is, it looks like both of them are now going to be in the rotation. So, but to your point, you know, hopefully we just score a lot of runs and pitching doesn't really matter for us this year. So, but that's going to mean the guys like Holiday and Kjerstad and all those other guys taking the next step. So
I'm a fan of Holiday. I think he's going to be good, but he's still only what, 20? Every time I see him, it makes me laugh. I'm like, he literally looks like an 11-year-old boy, you know, like
it's crazy.
Like dressed up in his father's suit or something, you know. I'm like, God, you're big. So young.
It's like that movie Big with Tom Hanks. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, with Zoltar.
Yeah.
I want to be big. Right. Yeah, man. And so that let me ask you this. What would you do? Would you want to go back? I guess it would make sense, but because that kid didn't know how good he had it. He had what, Elizabeth Perkins, you know, he's been an adult for 5 minutes. He's already got a girlfriend in a job in a badass apartment in Manhattan. I'm like, Hey, kid, it ain't going to get any better than this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's and like, I want to be a kid again.
Hey, you know what? It was good to get a little taste, you know, start, you know, and especially too, you know, with the makeout sessions and all that other stuff going on in that movie. He's probably like, you know, that was pretty cool. Ready to be a kid again, not have to deal with the adult responsibilities.
He's like, the adult life sucks, man. I just had this hot girlfriend and a trampoline in my studio apartment. You know, oh God, that was terrible. And I worked for a toy company. Oh man.
He probably thought to himself, you know what? This sucks. Having a girlfriend blows. I'm out of here. I'm going back to being a kid.
Yeah, man. Exactly. This life is too good. I want to go to college and be broke and work at McDonald's so I can have money to go to dollar beer night at the dive bar on campus.
Exactly right. All right. Well, Britton, let's get into it here real quick before we do. I don't have the buttons that Govea has, but just want to dive in here with the business time stuff. Tomorrow, catch me at 4 p.m. on Podapalooza with Mr. Justin Mason at 4 p.m. We're going to be talking favorite targets on draft day. It'll be myself, Justin Mason, Chris Towers, and Jordan Eisen. Chris Towers from CBS Sports. So he's been on the show with us before, Britton, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
So make sure you guys come in and check that out. I'll post the link tomorrow so that way you guys can get in and tell me how bad all my takes are and my favorite targets are. But yeah, that's tomorrow at 4 p.m. Really the whole day is going to be filled tomorrow and Sunday with a bunch of different guests in the fantasy baseball space. So talking different topics, also talking draft prep and the season. So make sure you guys check those out. And then lastly, real quick, if you haven't done so already, make sure you head over to my Twitter page on Bozo Fest. We're going to be releasing, or I'm going to be announcing the winner of the free MLB jersey of your choosing. I feel like that's been going on for a while now. We got a lot of good hits on that. And I believe, Britton, we're only 20 subscribers away from 1,000 on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's coming down to the wire. You know, I kind of look back, and it wasn't 30 days ago that we were like, hey, we want to hit 900. So, you know, it's moving right along. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, we're currently at 981. So for those of you guys watching us, we got 66 folks watching right now. Only takes 19 of you. If you haven't subscribed already, make sure you go over to our YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, go steal your friends' phones and subscribe for us. Get us to 1,000. We want to be there before the season starts. So.
Yeah, I tried to get some subscribers yesterday with my live stream of my Auto New League draft, I think we lost subscribers as a result of my live stream Auto New draft, because at one point, so it lasted about 2 hours, maybe two and a half, somewhere around there, but it was just me, and you know, I tried to go to the chat, and it was an auction draft too, so I'm trying to do the buttons and all that.
Yeah.
But at some point, I must have touched something because my microphone goes on mute. And it's on mute, and I don't know it for literally like 20 minutes, Mike. And I'm sitting there talking as if it's live, and it's not. And so then I switch over because, you know, when you do the thing, I had to press the other button to switch back to the chat to see, to answer questions at the chat or look at the chat.
Right.
Because I had picture in picture. Mm-hmm. And it was like all these nice people were like, can't hear you. You're on mute. Dude, you're talking to no one. It was like 10 people like trying to give me a heads up. And I'm just sitting there, you know, like a fool, just talking to a dead mic for like 20 minutes. So I wouldn't be shocked, unfortunately, if we lost some subscribers due to that. But
hey, dude? We run into some issues from time to time. We're human. Things happen. Technology sucks. It is what it is. But hey, I checked in on your live stream and thought it was really fun. So if you guys haven't checked that out, outside of the 20 minutes where Britton's kind of just mouthing to everybody, make sure you guys go check that out. Really, really cool. Especially if you're new to auction drafts too, which I thought Britton did a really good job at this throughout the show. I'm not an auction guy myself, but I also learned a little bit from Britton yesterday in terms of how he approaches his auctions and also how he approaches his builds and his strategy with his budget. So if you're in an auction draft or if you have one coming up, highly recommend that you guys check that out. Good stuff, Britton. And I love the little sound effects that it made throughout the show too, which was cool.
Yeah, the little auto-new, like if I had a player that I clicked watch, it made a different sound. And then just a regular like nomination sound. So yeah, right. The Auto New website is real easy to use for auctions. I'm in two Auto New leagues. I love them both.
I'm gonna have to probably get into that maybe before the season starts if I can get into another draft. Right now I'm in four leagues plus the Palazzo Podcast Invitational and the TGFBI one. So six total for me is a lot to manage, but I might try to get into an auto new league because I do want to try out the format and I want to try out the just the layout of a new fantasy baseball app. So
you'll love it. You'll love it. It's real intuitive. It's easy to use. And I'm not an Excel budget person at all. So I was worried about, I got a budget and I got to worry about this, that. It's real easy. Even I can, if I can do it, anybody can do it. But I do want to shout out people that came over and said hello in the chat of yesterday, the live stream, Joe Chris, Uncle Ted, just a bunch of good people. So I just want to say thanks for doing that. It made it fun. And you know, I love drafting and it was nice to have people kind of come over and say hello.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And once again, if you guys haven't checked that out, that's on our YouTube page. Make sure you guys check it out, especially if you're in an auction draft coming up this weekend or later this month. Must see TV. Even with the mute button, it's always nice to look at Britton. Sometimes it's good just to take a step back and just really observe how beautiful this man is. So you don't really need to listen to him talk for that 20 minutes that he's
on. I want to hire a lip reader. Yeah, I want to hire a lip reader who can read lips and then do a transcript of whatever genius, because, you know, I don't want all that to go to waste. You know, that was probably some comedy gold right there.
It probably was, yeah.
Lost for the, it's like when the Beatles like lost some of their master recordings. It's right. Like, well, the earth is a worse place today, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I would agree. You and the Beatles, right?
Just
on the
like
same.
That. Yeah, exactly the same thing, pretty much.
All right. Well, good deal. Live chat is bumping. Thank you guys very much for engaging. Everyone's busting my balls here, Britton, in terms of the O's sucking Bizza ads. Kramer serving up meatballs to Govier's Bozo Tigers. Two for Torque and one for Torres. So that's nice for the Tigers there and not good for my O's. But hey, it's spring training, right?
Yeah. He's got that little man bun thing.
I hate
Ding,
it.
Ding does. I can't figure out what's going on there.
No, needs to get rid of it. I would take a pair of scissors if I was a second baseman, like Holiday or Gunner, and I'd go up with a pair of scissors and just snip it while he's waiting for the guy to get in the box or something.
So. If Gunner comes around any of those veterans with a pair of scissors, he's going to get a bat to the face. You know what I mean?
Probably right. Yeah. All right. Well, let's dive into leading off here and catch of the day. Some spring training notes, real quick. Obviously, the big headliner news. Grayson Rodriguez and George Kirby are likely to start the season on the IL. Grayson Rodriguez and George Kirby both do not have structural damage, though, Britton, which is nice. Grayson is dealing with a little bit of tricep soreness or a triceps issue, but everything came back fine structurally, so it looks like he's going to be okay. Kirby, same thing, just has shoulder inflammation. Luckily, nothing's going on there, so they're going to shut him down. Do you have any shares of either of these guys? And if you don't, what does this do for their draft stocks on draft day? How far are you bumping these guys down your draft board?
Way down. Got to. It's a huge hit. I don't see any way around it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is always the concern with spring training. You know, you get these injuries, yeah. And like Gunnar Henderson, oblique injury. Well, he may be fine. He may not. You know, George Kirby, shoulder inflammation, MRI. Grayson Rodriguez is going to miss the start of the season. I mean, these are big-time fantasy players. Like, George, you know, I know we're going to talk about our TGFBI leagues, and I was looking at where George Kirby got drafted, and it was like Cole Reagans, George Kirby, mm-hmm. and then, you know, another stud. I'm like, oh, man, that's just such bad luck. Obviously, for George Kirby, who's a human being, but yeah. You know that sucks. But you know, just you know, your second pitcher, or maybe even your first overall pitcher, is pretty much, I wouldn't say done for the year, but shoulder inflammation, MRI for a pitcher, his throwing arm too, mind you. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's so tough. Did you draft George Kirby anywhere?
I didn't, thankfully. So far, so good. I'm only in two leagues. I got a draft on Monday, and I got drafts towards the end of the month. Shout out to some of these guys who are in the live chat are also in these leagues. Bizza, I believe, is in one of these leagues with me. But the thing with Gunner, too, is his is not oblique. His is an intercostal injury. So his is more so inside the rib cage there. The cartilage is in the rib cage. So it's not necessarily the oblique muscle, which is good. So, but they are going to be careful with him. Hyde said they're very optimistic that he'll be – he'll be ready for opening day. I wouldn't be surprised if they probably monitored him a little bit heading into the season, maybe give him some more days off because they're going to want him obviously for the whole season and not lose him to further injury. But like we talked about, on the last show too, is he was diving for a ball, so it wasn't something that was like he swung. Yeah, so that's a good thing. So it's probably just a little sore. They're probably gonna be careful with him and monitor his reps. For me, with Grayson and Kirby, because Kirby's right there, right? Like he's a top 10 pitcher off the board. You're probably drafting him maybe third, fourth, fifth rounds. But if you're heading into drafts here, Britton, I'm interested to hear your take. Like, let's just say George Kirby's going in the third or fourth round. What round do you feel comfortable drafting George Kirby to start? What round do you feel comfortable drafting him at now with this shoulder inflammation?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. He's on the stay away list. Like, mm-hmm. Now obviously if you're in a 50 round draft and hold and he lasts till round 50, okay. But that's not going to happen. But I'm not drafting him in round 10. I just shoulder inflammation with a starting pitcher, like where you'd have to draft him in out of top 10, top 15, somewhere, some maybe top 20. I'll take there are other players to get. So he's on an avoid. Now, if you have an IL spot,
yes.
Then obviously that's a little bit different, but I still don't want to waste a top 10 pick on a player that I have to on an IL stash. Like even when he comes back, he's got to get ramped up. He's got to. Mm-hmm. He's going to do minor leagues rehab starts, and then even after that, what if he has surgery? And what if things don't go right? Long story short, it's a long season, and you just don't want to start it off using a top round pick with somebody that's already injured. That's kind of my philosophy.
Yeah, I agree with that take 100%. I love George Kirby heading into the season. He was a guy that I was going to be targeting. I unfortunately don't have him in either of the leagues that we're drafting in right now, simply because it just got sniped and somebody got him before I did. But, for me heading into drafts, because I have four more drafts heading into before the season starts. And for me, for a guy like George Kirby, if I'm, and let's just say he's in the third round, I have an IL spot and I'm in the fifth or the sixth round and he's still available. I'm going to be taking him, hoping that he can get his shoulder injury, especially because there's no structural damage. I assume they'll be careful with him, but you're probably talking about the first month, month and a half that he's going to be gone. I would assume, to your point, the injury, let it, the inflammation to die down, and also to ramp back up for a starting pitcher. We're talking about a minimum of a month. So, if he falls maybe to the fifth or sixth round and I need starting pitching, I might entertain that. And I have to have an IL spot, in order for me to draft either of these guys. So I'm thinking 2 to 3 round discount before I start thinking about it. I'm not saying I'm taking them, but before I start thinking about it, at least. But yeah, shoulder injuries as well as tricep soreness is never a good thing. So, especially heading into the season, we've got 162 games, Britton. That's not a good thing.
Nope. And there are a lot of pitchers that I like this year too. Exactly. More so than in years past. So yep. I'd rather draft Reese Olson than George Kirby. 100%. I think Reese Olson is going to have a great year. Mm-hmm. And you know, you don't have to draft him top 10, top, you know, rounds. You can get Reese Olson at the end of your draft, and I think you're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I love it's funny too, because we're talking about this, and we'll go over our TGFBI teams here in a minute. I'm looking at, you know, the draft board with starting pitching. There's a lot of guys I like, even past pick 200, 250. That I think can be serviceable or valuable in fantasy this year. So it kind of adds or backs our point here, Britton, with waiting on starting pitching and starting to draft some of these big bats early on. So
yeah, like I'm in round 13 of mm-hmm. my TGFBI, and I don't even know if anybody cares or wants to hear about this, but in round 12, 15 teams, round 12, I drafted Christopher Sanchez for the Philadelphia Phillies. I love him. I think he's awesome. And that's in round 12. I mean, he could, I think he's great. Other pitchers, not drafted by me, but other pitchers going in that. I know you and I both love Zach Gallen. He went around before. Brian Wu, I know the injury history, but who cares? Like just ride it out until you can't mm-hmm. ride it anymore. And round 10, like Jack Flaherty, love him. Hunter Brown, Justin Steele, Freddie Peralta. Like, Freddie Peralta is a 200K guy, and he's in round 9. So I love all those guys. So I think you instead of taking George Kirby in round 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever you have to take him in, you know, take your first catcher. Get old Wilson Contreras with St. Louis. He's going to be a first baseman. He's just going to eat up all kinds of plate appearances, you know, just draft these other pitchers later.
They should have done that a long time ago with Wilson Contreras. I'm surprised they didn't. I'm glad they're doing that this year. But yeah, the thing with, especially in early on in drafts, I think a lot of guys are in the same boat as we are, Britton, in terms of drafting the big bats early. I want to share my team really quick. I know nobody probably cares, but I just want to go over a couple things.
I care, Mike. I want to see it. I want to see this.
Let me see if I can
number one overall the team that you're concocting.
There we go.
Ooh, look at you. So
this is me and right here. Hang on. Can you guys see that all right?
I'm old, so I have to like get real close to the computer because I have to have like,
over here.
Yeah, I have to have the computer kind of far back because I got this mic right here.
Yeah. So I will say, Britton, in terms of my build, I am still figuring out saves and stolen bases here. Okay. But a lot of these guys I liked because of the value, and I'll go over a couple of these. So you can see here that Soto fell to number 9 to me. Witt went 1, Otani 2nd, and then obviously Judge were the first 3 off the board. And Soto fell to me at 9. I was surprised that he went. I mean, you me and Gove were talking about this in our side chat here in our group text, but I'm surprised that Tucker and Tatis went before Soto. So I was happy to take him. I'm glad I got him. But to your point, you know, guy got his big contract. Maybe it's a letdown year. The other thing I wanted to touch on real quick is I said I don't take pitchers in the first 2 rounds, and I'm trying something different out, especially in TGFBI. I have a lot of good starting pitchers here between Zach Wheeler, Blake Snell. Aaron Nola, who was going in the 70s, fell all the way down here at round 8. I felt like this was just way too good to pass up on. I was happy to get him there. But I took a little bit of a reach on Caminero. I knew he wasn't going to fall back to me in round 5. I thought he was gonna go be around that area. So I reached on him. I did think about Lawrence Butler here, who went right after me. And then
Bregman had been there, would you have taken Bregman or Caminero?
Yes, I would have taken Bregman over Caminero, but he went right before me here. Going into this round, I wanted Adley as well, so he went. But rounding out my team here, Marcus Semien, Vinny Pasquantino, Aaron Nola. I drafted Royce Lewis in both my leagues so far. I thought that was good value as well, if he can stay healthy. And then I started taking closer back-to-back here in two out of the three rounds, Alexis Diaz and Justin Martinez. I did wait, unfortunately, so I had to start reaching on some of these guys. But then I got Jack Flaherty super late. So my pitching staff right now consists of Zach Wheeler, Blake Snell, Aaron Nola, and Jack Flaherty, with Diaz and Martinez as my closers.
15-team league. That looks good. I like it. Yeah,
man.
I like Justin Martinez, kind of undervalued. I think he's going to get the majority of the saves. Obviously, Puck will get some, but mm-hmm. I think Martinez will be the number one guy. And I think Arizona is going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, obviously, so do I. Last year. Yeah, so do I. For me too, I loved Vinny Pasquantino. I probably took him a round too early instead of where he normally gets drafted at, but I needed first base. I didn't want to draft any of the older guys like Paul Goldschmidt or any of those other dudes. So I could have taken a guy like Josh Naylor as well, but I took Vinny P instead. I think you get a safe 270 average with, 80, 90 RBIs with double digit home runs. So, and good OBP guy as well. So I like Vinny P a lot this year. Did you want to share your TGFBI team?
I'll try, Mike. This may be a disaster. I'm not as good as you are. But, hey, in your league, do you know who Team 12 is? Do you see that? Yeah, that's Adam Ronis.
Adam Ronis. Yeah. He's with
Fantasy Alarm, yeah, I think. He's really good. Hold on. I'm going to write down. Who are his first five? I'm just kidding.
Carroll, Chorio, Seager, Diaz, and Yamamoto. So I liked his build real quick. I liked him. There's another team I wanted to point out that I liked a lot. Maybe I was thinking of
Dad. You know him?
Yep.
Him too. Yeah.
Yep. I'm trying to think. Where was that team at? Maybe it was Palazzo that I was thinking of. And this one here is interesting to me. Richards, Tatis Jr., Riley, Devers, solid there. First three picks, two third basemans. Britton, I want to get your thoughts on this too, because we talked about it in our show. I know you're a big Acuna guy. I took him in the third round, and a couple of people that follow me and I were chatting about it earlier today. From a stolen bases perspective, and it looks like he's on track what he's been saying, that he wants to return for May 2nd to be his return date. I looked at him and said to myself, hey, you know what? Like, even if I get 20 to 30 steals out of Acuna and he still hits his normal 20 to 30 home runs and score a lot of runs and RBIs and yada, yada, I would take that. I don't think we're going to see 70 that he did once he came off his first ACL injury. But from a stolen bases perspective with Acuna, you got over or under 19.5 for Ronald Acuna Jr.?
I'm taking under. Now, remember, this is his second knee injury. His first one, the year that he came back, wasn't a good year. So I think this year they're going to be real. He's 27. He's a their star. They're just not going to let him run wild. They're just not. And he's already said that I'm going to take it easy on the bases this year. Like, if this guy has another knee injury, it may be like career ending. I think they're going to give him a day off more than they did last year. I think they're going to be real careful with him. So I don't think they're going to let him run wild. I would take the under on stolen bases. Now, he's a great hitter. So I think the power numbers are going to be just fine. I would take the over on 20, 25, I would say. But I would take the under on stolen base just because, I mean, and it's not just about him. I'm sure he wants to, he wants to go out there. He's a fiery dude, right? But I just don't think the Atlanta Braves are going to let him. I think he's going to have the red light just because he's too talented to have another knee injury. I think they're going to try to save him from himself. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over slightly on Acuna, and I think he steals anywhere between 20 to 25 bases. I don't think that'd be out of the ordinary. At the end of the day, Do I think they'll be cautious with him in the early on? Yes. But as the season progresses and the weather starts to warm up, yada, yada, and he starts to be a little bit more comfortable with his knee, he is who he is. That's like telling LeBron James, hey, you can't play 40 minutes today. You got to play 30. like you said, he's a fiery guy. He wants to play. I'm hoping that he steals some bases. I don't think we're going to see the 50, 60, 70 that we saw a couple years ago. But I thought it was just too good of a value. I love Acuña as well. He's arguably one of my top three favorite baseball players right now.
Me too.
And the guys that went after him, obviously, Pete Alonso, who I thought about, but I love Acuña so much. And you guys can see here, Kode Senga just got drafted.
Hey, look, so. We got a live pick.
Yep.
Kode Senga.
But these guys that were after him, so I'll show you this, right, because this is the third round, so it's going this way from left to right. So Alonso, O'Neill Cruz, Corey Seager, there's George Kirby, Cole Reagans. Like, any of these guys I didn't like in this area here over Acuña, unfortunately. I already drafted a pitcher, so I wasn't going to take a starter. I maybe would have taken a closer there, but I thought that was probably a little bit of a reach. So at the end of the day, do I regret it? No. I love Acuña. I'm still banking on the power numbers. Even if he's a 4x5 guy, Britton, do you think Ronald Acuña warrants a third round pick in a 15 team league?
Yeah, I think so. I think his power is going to be there. But obviously the knee injury thing is looming, but
yeah.
But I think he's going to be fine. Yeah, but I hear you, man. When it's your turn to pick.
Yeah.
And you look at the list and you see Ronald Acuña Jr. there.
Yes.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
That's not me. To just
drink. Yeah. Especially if you had him on any team with the 70, you know, 50, 40 home runs and 70 steals, like, you're still high off that 3 years later or whatever it was. But I'm with you. I love Ronald Acuña too. He's one of my favorite players.
Yeah. So you want to hear something? You want to hear the last thing on Acuña, then we'll move on. You want to know why I took him in the third round?
Because he's awesome.
But if you recall, 2 years ago, I had 1-1 in one of my drafts, and this is when Trey Turner went to the Phillies. I took Trey Turner over Ronald Acuña, and Ronald Acuña went nuclear. So I kind of had a little talk with Ronald. I gave him a call and I said, hey, man, mistakes don't happen twice, man. Okay, I can't do that to you again. I'm gonna take you here, and we're gonna hope for good things. So,
The Trey Turner is one reason why people are kind of passing on Soto.
Yeah, that's right.
That big contract. No, but that big contract scares people off, because I think Juan Soto's a young guy, so this probably doesn't apply to him. But you know, for a lot of people, they get that big guaranteed money and. If my knee aches this morning, I might just, you know, go on the IL for a little while, you know. But then that's like a, you know, but that's not a mentality that Soto has. That's a mentality that I have, which which is bad.
So. Philly is a lot. Let's see it, dude. While you're doing that, Philly's a little. I guess New York's also really hard to play in, but Philly, especially. Nick Castellanos had some issues there, so Trey followed right behind. I'm hoping that doesn't happen with Soto. OBP got monster. I love him. Same thing. Remember last year we were so high on Kyle Tucker, and I took Kyle Tucker over Soto.
I was super high.
Ah, there we go. Very good, my friend.
Did it work?
Yeah, try to enlarge it a little bit.
I have no idea how to do that.
Are you on Windows or Mac?
Windows.
So do Control and the plus sign.
Oh, all right.
There we go.
Is that doing it?
There we go. Yep. And then just slide your the browser over so we can see your team. So you got Brent Hersey in there.
Yeah, who else got Brent. Friend of the pod, Brent Hersey. He's at Baseball HQ. He lets us do a live podcast out on First Pitch. Shout out
Dave Brent. Funnel.
Dave Funnel is right next to me. He's team 14. I'm team 13. Unfortunately, Dave got the George Kirby pick. If you can see it right there.
Yep.
I picked 13, and I passed on Betts. That's who I was choosing between Betts and Lindor. I went ahead and picked Lindor because. Even though Betts has got short and outfield, I kind of think the Dodgers might have a down year, and I guess we can get to that later. But But I like Lindor batting first with Soto now. And even though I just said, you know, watch out for Soto, which is ridiculous. Don't listen to that. But so, you know, Lindor, Pete Alonso's back. I like all that. Mm-hmm. So I picked Lindor because he's, you know, a pretty safe 30-30 guy.
Yeah.
And then so obviously I picked Churio, which I don't know.
That's a couple drafts now that you have Churio, no?
It is, yeah. I'm in love with Churio. I think.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Brewers player Carlos Gomez?
Of course.
He was my first ever pick in any fantasy league ever, and so I kind of get Carlos Gomez vibes from Jackson Churio, and I think that's why I did it. Then I've got Cole Reagans as my ace, Brent Rooker, who I reached for, but I just love him hitting. In Sacramento, and I love it so much. Look who I took right after that,
and right after that,
three Sacramento River Cats in a row. We'll see how that love goes. That,
then, you got your boy Hunter Green.
I got my boy Hunter Green. You know my love of Hunter Green. I think he's going to have a great year. Jake Berger. I eat my burgers. I love my mushroom Swiss.
You have people very
like
delicious
cheddar bacon. I'm like,
you have a good burger.
I have a refined burger taste, as we all know. And so Robbie Ray, I like.
You got a good food team. You got a nice little cinnamon churro, and then you also got a nice little cheddar cheese burger there.
That's like the meal that I get before I get electrocuted the next day. You know, I'm like, oh, I want Churios and my mushroom Swiss burger, please. And then I got Robbie Ray and Reynaldo Lopez, Christopher Sanchez, and it should be my pick here in a minute or two.
I see that. Are you up next? Oh, no, two.
No, I got one ahead of me, but, So there you can look. If you want to see how, do you recognize any of these other names? Obviously there's Brent Hershey who got Bobby Witt.
I mean, Smith is a very common last name.
It's Gunner moving pretty fourth. Good.
Gunner going fourth over Ellie and J-Ram is interesting.
Yeah, here you got in this league Soto went 8.
Yeah, so it's right on par. I mean, he went 9. He fell to 9 to me. So that's good. You know, I see the guy who drafted Edwin Diaz and Devin Williams, Vreeland, in the fourth and fifth back to back.
Which one is that?
The first team that has Ohtani, he took back-to-back closers, it looks like, between Edwin Diaz and Devin Williams.
He did, yeah, fourth and fifth round. Yeah, this is a, you know, I don't know if we explained it, but it's a 15-team draft. Is it a draft and hold league, or is it? I'm so confused. I'm in so many leagues. No, this is
a FBI his fab, yeah.
Yeah, see, this is why I would never do that. I haven't even drafted a closer yet because it's a fab league, and during the year, closers all save – out of nowhere, save guys always come up. And not that there's anything wrong. Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with doing what this guy did. And those are elite closers, so he doesn't have to spend money on fab, you know, as long as everybody's healthy. Yeah. So I get that. But in a fab league, I just, I know there'll be closers that come up during the year, so I don't mess with it. I will grab somebody at some point, but it'll probably be like a Kenley Jansen, and then it'll be a flyer like, Jason Foley or, you know, something like that. But right now I'm just trying to lock up, you know, hitter stats. Cause I
where
took
would you
three
say,
pitchers.
Yeah. Three in a row. Looks like we're seeing Robbie Ray, Ronaldo Lopez and Christopher Sanchez. So all great. I love all those guys. Christopher Sanchez for me, I know a lot of people are falling in love with him. Away splits and people got on me so hard, Britton. I'm not buying the hype with him yet. I know he added pitches. He looks good this spring. But those home away splits are just, it's scaring me off. He had over a five ERA on the road. But I got murdered on that take on Twitter. Hey, there he is.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, God. What's up?
Yeah, man. I'm so glad to see you guys. What a night. What a day. What a week. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be here, brothers.
No problem.
Scoob, yeah, we're talking about our TGFBI teams.
Great.
So I was just going over mine. Mike's been over his. Can you give us the inside scoop on yours, or do you want to simmer?
Well, this is your team we're looking at?
Yes, sir. I'm team 13. We talked about it, so I got Lindor,
Trio. Everybody knows how to share screens now. Look at this. I'm so proud.
I know,
of you,
yeah. I was the last to learn, but I did finally.
Hey, you've been doing the live drafts, man. Two live drafts.
Oh, there you go. You're
freezing. I don't know why they muted me. Are they pissed at me?
Yeah.
Do I sound like myself?
Yeah, you do.
Sorry. Yeah, I can pull up mine. We want to take a look at it. I got it right here, actually.
Yeah, let me hope.
Trade screens. Actually, I'm on the clock. We could go live.
Oh, right. Yeah.
To a real-time pick if you guys want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do nice a live Saturday.
Well, what's this new setup? Behind the scenes here, folks. Did you guys talk about this already? On StreamYard, there's like this scenes thing over here. There's like there's a beta thing they got.
Oh, yeah.
What are you seeing that? Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't even know. It's beyond me. I'll have to look into that. Okay, here we go. So here's my jump into the TGFBI room right now at 3. Oh, there's my cue. I just spoiled a lot. Oh, crap. There we go. All right, so I'm pick number 11, and we are in round 14. And if we zoom in a bit here, I'll help out. Here we go. You guys seeing that?
Yep.
So this is how I started. Corbin Carroll, Crochet, pitcher heavy, guys. Crochet, Hader, Reagans, Bybee, Alcantara, and Diaz in the first 10 picks overall.
I took Diaz as well, Gove, and it looks like you and Britton both got, you guys both got some cold Reagans in your life. What round did you take Reagans at? Third? Fourth. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Last year I was against Reagans, but he won me over, sold me, so I'm in now.
I love him buying. So much. Yeah,
I love him. I mean, the guy, his upside is tremendous. He could compete. I got both him and Crochet. They could literally both compete for AL Cy Young this year. I really believe that. Of course, Matt McClain, our guy. There it is.
love it.
Cal Raleigh. I've never drafted Cal Raleigh, so it's my first share of the big dumper. I just thought 30 home runs at catcher is a strong move. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's stupid or not. When do you guys want to take catchers?
I have yet to take a catcher in TGFBI. So.
That's usually my strategy, Mike. I'm the guy who likes to wait. Like last year, I waited on Ryan Jeffers as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, I took Sandy Alcantara because I love him. So,
yeah,
I took Shea Langeliers in round 6, and then I backed it up in round 9 with Tyler Stevenson for Cincinnati.
Love that. One of my former crushes, Britton. I was a huge Tyler Stevenson guy. Yeah. I waited a little too long for him to pop, and then last year he kind of came back to life, so I think I might be buying back in.
Yeah, this is he had a good year, hit 19 home runs with a decent average. So that's kind of what I try to shoot for. Like I like Cal Raleigh too, and he's going to hit 30 bombs, but then you have to find somebody with a good batting average to help kind of offset that 220 or whatever. Whatever it is, but 30 home runs is 30 home runs though. So that's well worth paying, you know, trying to figure out batting average later.
Absolutely. That's what scared me with him. I love the power as well, but I already had a lot of power guys. So I thought about Cal Raleigh as well. But at the same time too, I wanted to address other areas of my team and not just get another low average bopper, but, Gove,
real quick about Cal Raleigh. I just want to make this real quick.
Yeah.
Look at his past 3 years. He's like 29 home runs, 30 home runs, 32 home runs. Like he hits in Seattle, which is terrible, but it doesn't seem to phase him. He's just like getting better and better. And we all think, well, at least I shouldn't say that we all. I think Julio Rodriguez will have a kind of a bounce back year. So I think that'll help.
I'll join you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that'll help Cal's numbers too.
Yeah. Gove, I saw you went 3 straight picks with an outfielder. I assume you were addressing the outfield spot.
Yep.
With Josh Lowe, Colton Kowser, my boy. I love I'm so blown I did not get him. Real quick, I just want to see where Kowser went in this. Because I said to myself for my team that in TGFBI, I said to myself, hey, I'm going to take this person, and I guarantee you that Kowser goes right after I pick, and he did. So I was blown by that. I was hoping he'd fall back to me. I'm trying to think here. So I went where he went. There he is. Okay. I took Jack Flaherty over him. I love Jack Flaherty at that value. I know I was a big Jack Flaherty hater, but he's back with Detroit. I think
it's about growth, Mike.
Yeah. It's right. Here's the thing too. I can pull back and say to myself, like, hey, I was wrong, and Jack Flaherty is one of those guys, proved a lot of people wrong last year. But now that he's back with Detroit, I think that's a great landing spot for him in a pitcher's ballpark. And I thought the value was too good to pass up on, so I took him.
So let's do this live here then. So yes, I took three straight outfielders. That was part of my plan. I took Corbin Carroll number one and then didn't take an outfielder until Lowe, Couser, and Lane Thomas, guys, who 2 years ago, I loved Lane Thomas. He had a great year. Last year was a struggle, but he hit that clutch grand slam against my guy, Tarek Skubal, or in my Tigers, in the playoff game, which I'll never forget. So Lane Thomas, in his prime, playing center field every day. I was torn between Couser and Thomas. So I took Couser, but then Lane Thomas is still there, so I took him after that. And I said, I get them both. So now I'm looking at either I could take my second catcher, and there is a guy that someone in the chat just brought up. I was thinking about this guy right here who Kybert I believe Ruiz. Britton mentioned last week, Kybert Ruiz.
Yeah.
And he's on the board right now, so I could take him, and then I'd be done with my catchers. There's a couple of the catchers I do like who are still on the board. I could maybe wait another two or three rounds for. But I don't have a third baseman.
And what about closer?
Closer, I've got Josh Hader and then Alexis Diaz. Oh, so I got two rock Hader. Solids. Yeah. I went early on Hader, which is something I never do, but I took last year's, there was a pitch, first pitch panel last year, First Pitch Arizona Britain member. Yeah. There was a guy, those guys that did that panel about the winning teams in NFBC and how if you want to win an overall, you really have to get like two stud closers and just set it and forget it. And I took Hader as one for sure, and I'm hoping that Diaz, I really think Diaz is underrated here. I haven't talked about him much on the show yet, but I think he's a guy who will bounce back and be a guy who should be the closer, because I don't see anybody in the Reds bullpen who really freaks me out. Give it up for the guitar,
It's Jamie Foxx. At BetMGM, everyone gets a welcome offer. Get up to $1,500 in bonus bets when you sign up if your first bet doesn't go your way. You know I love a good welcome. Hey there, friends. I'm here to treat you right with BetMGM. A warm welcome to our new customers. I see you out there. I know you got what it takes, so take out that phone, tap that BetMGM app, and bet, baby. You know what it is. There's a bonus bet waiting for you. Oh, that's the good stuff. Get on in here. Get your welcome offer and play with the sports book born in Vegas, where they know how to treat you right. Download BetMGM and bet.
See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's Ram Truck Month. Hurry in for great deals on the trucks built to help you drive your own story. Take center stage with Ram 1500's available 540 horsepower Hurricane engine. Command the spotlight in our most luxurious Ram 1500. Or steal the show with the new Ram heavy duty lineup with an available Cummins high output turbo diesel engine. Hurry in and drive your own story with Ram 1500, Motor Trend's 2025 Truck of the Year during Ram Truck Month. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
I took him to Gove as one of my closers as well. I believe it was in TGFBI, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he was my first closer that I took as well. Yeah, he was. So what round did you get him in?
I got him in round 10.
Yeah, so did I.
Perfect. That's great. You could wait to round 10 to get Diaz. I'd recommend it. I'd join Mike Virginia on that. So at this point, third base available, which I don't have any. There's Josh Young, Isak Paredes, Max Muncy, old Nolan Arenado, no thanks. So it's getting a little more dicey. And if I wait at this point, there is a guy I want to mention, but if I don't draft him here, I don't want to say his name, who I might be waiting on for a couple more rounds at third base. So It's either take a third baseman, wait on third base for a guy I might like. Also, a guy at first base I love. There's two guys at first base that I'm waiting on, so I'll wait there as well. So I'm either going Lucas Ursig is still on the board, but I already took two closers. But he keeps dropping, and I still think he has a role to play as an elite arm in that KC bullpen. So it's either him or Ruiz I'm kind of thinking right now.
They did say that he was going to be the setup guy so far with Ursig.
Well, high leverage, right?
High leverage,
so whatever, the highest leverage reliever in any crucial point. So it could be the seventh inning, yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, Carlos Estevez is not somebody I don't think anybody's necessarily shaken over. I like Lucas Ursig. I don't really understand them signing Estevez, but that's just me. I'm with Bizza here for you, Gove. I like Isak Paredes in Houston
really?
This year. Yeah, love him. Because I think in just the what do they call that in left field? The
That place over there. Hancock Port or what the hell's that place called?
Something boxes.
Crawford boxes. Yes.
Yes. Crawford boxes. Yeah. I think he's going to mash. If you get nothing else, and I don't know, I know you got Cal Raleigh, but in terms of scrolling up on your team a little bit more, you're definitely going to get some power from him for sure. So I like him as a third base this year. Yeah. That's who I would go with personally, but it's hard to also know who else is out there.
Britain, I was going to say Bomb, but it looks like he's already been taken.
Who?
Bomb.
Oh God! I was targeting Bomb as my starting third baseman, and somebody got him. Yeah, that screwed me bad because I really thought that'd be my guy. So, I think I'm just gonna. We're live here. Let's do it. I'm looking at Keibert Ruiz, and it seems to make a lot of sense to me right now because of the other guys, which I can't talk about because I don't want to give anything away. I've got five starting pitchers already, so I feel good about not having to add another starting pitcher right now, even though Mackenzie Gore is on the board. Mackenzie Gore, Taj Bradley are a couple of guys that are available right now, but I feel like that's a luxury, and I'll be okay for the moment. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go. Also, Jung Ho Lee is a guy that could hit third in the Giants order. And that at this point in the draft, around pick 200, finding a guy who could hit third is more of a luxury as well.
Yeah.
But I do have four outfielders. So
I like the Ruiz pick because you got to play two. And yep, Ruiz is
I'll go Keibert Ruiz. Here we go. I'm doing it. Keibert Ruiz drafted in 3-2-1. Boom. There it is. It's done. Let's move on.
What round is that in?
That is round 13. 14. 14.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. That's fine.
I don't think mine's going to come up either, but I got like four guys ahead of me. Britton, you had somebody, I think you were one pick away from being on the clock, no?
I was. I still am.
Okay.
But if my pick comes up, I'll do the share screen because I know exactly who I'm going to pick if he's there. So.
Oh, okay. Cool. Did you guys get into player battles yet?
Not yet. We were waiting for you, buddy.
Perfect.
Everybody was here was like, hey, we want the player battles. And I said, guys, we can't do it without Govier, all right? So
thank you so much. I owe you one, brother. All right, I'm here now. I'm ready. Let's rock. Two little mice.
Two little mice fell in a bucket of cream.
All right.
So first one here, and Gove, it looks like you did some work on the show sheet here. You had Andres Munoz versus Alexis Diaz. Since we already talked about Alexis Diaz here, I'm pretty sure I know your answer. But Britton, let's start with you. Andres Munoz of the Seattle Mariners or Alexis Diaz of the Cincinnati Reds? Who you got?
I like them both, but I would but for purposes of our discussion, Andres Munoz is awesome. That dude throws gas. And if you look at Alexis Diaz's numbers, you're like, that ERA, that whip. But Andres Munoz is awesome. And I think that he, you know, the Mariners let go their manager. I think it was Scott Servais.
Finally.
So now they're kind of mixed. You know, I think the philosophy is going to change. So I think Munoz is going to be the full-time closer. Now, the only one thing is like, off the top of my head, I don't think he's ever had – over 20 saves. So there's
he had 22 last year, technically. I think that's his career.
Okay, great. So yeah, so I like that. I think it's moving in the right direction. Look at all that beautiful red. Look at all that delicious red. It looks like a beautiful steak, cooked rare, very rare. I love it.
Yeah, Anthony, there you go. Yeah, Mark Church. That's right, buddy. Forget both these guys. That's funny.
Yeah. That's so funny too. Like that manager made one offhand comment about some random dude that's literally pitched one inning in major leagues and
one inning, one K though. That's like 9K per nine, Britton.
It's only gonna get better. So, but yeah, that's funny. No, yeah. So I like Munoz. What do y'all think?
For me, and the only thing, since we have Munoz up on the screen here, he's definitely going to have to work on that walk percentage, for sure. Love the sea of red, but again, that he had 11.2% walk percentage, and the barrel rate also was something left to be desired. Yeah. How many games do you think I guess they're kind of in the same bucket here, but I believe the draft price for Munoz is obviously a lot higher, and he's 26. I love him too, Britton. I think he's got great stuff. In terms of even just when we brought up a TGFBI, Govan and I both got Alexis Diaz in the 10th round, who also had his fair share
great
of
troubles
last year with keeping the ball in the ballpark and then also blowing saves. So, but yeah. I don't think there's anybody in that bullpen that's going to be pushing him. I think Diaz probably still has the best stuff. He's saved 37 games in 2023 with a 3.07 ERA. So,
also dropped his walk rate, despite some of the other disappointing stats there, Mike. Alexis Diaz did reduce his walk rate from the previous year. The whip came down a tad, I believe. So I think combining those two factors, nobody in the bullpen I'm freaked out about, trusting that Tito Francona is just a better manager and knows what he's doing and can help Diaz grow. Also, Diaz is in his prime. He is 28. He's not 22. Like, he's been around, so he developed a little bit later. I just think a bounce-back year here with lack of threats in a world where it's hard to find a closer that can give you 30-plus saves. That's hard to come by these days. I think Diaz is being undervalued for that reason.
I think you're right. I think you're right, too. And at the draft price, I prefer Diaz because you can get him later. And I like Munoz, too. He's awesome. I think he's going to get – I think he's going to have a career year in saves.
Well, this was a real-life conundrum. That's why I put this in here, because I literally – when I chose Diaz in the TGFBI, I was like, God – should I take Munoz now or wait for Diaz in two more rounds? And I ended up waiting to take Diaz. And because I love Munoz, Britton, I'm with you. I really like his stuff. And he could, I think this is the year where Munoz probably ascends to another level. So I may regret it.
Yeah. And I agree with Britton 100%. And both of y'all's takes in terms of just the manager aspect of it. Yeah. Business saying Tito won't tolerate it. I think the Reds, if they can stay healthy, are going to be a team that can compete within the Central there. The added, Your boy Brady Singer there, Gove, if you remember, in the offseason, the Jonathan India trade. So another year of Nick Lodolo, Hunter Green. If all the hitters stay healthy, Christian Encarnacion, Strand, Matt McClain, Ellie. There's a lot of good bats in that lineup too. So, but yeah, I like Diaz for the draft price as well. I think you guys hit it on the head.
Poor Spencer Steer's missing out. If he was healthy, he'd have a career year this year. It sucks.
Yeah. All right, next one here, which I thought was interesting. Corbin Carroll or Julio Rodriguez? This one's an easy one for me, but Gove, I'll start with you.
Yep, this was also a real-life conundrum. When I started TGFBI, you saw I selected Corbin Carroll, so you know how I landed, which side of the coin came down for me. But it was tough. I agonized for like a half hour, like, shit, J-Rod looks like he could bounce back, have a career year. And is what Britton mentioned earlier, if Cal Raleigh can hit 30 home runs in Safeco, why can't J-Rod hit 30 home runs there? Why can't Randy Arozarena do that? I mean, is there some secret in the bat or some shit? Is it really just the ass? The big dumper is the X factor of the power?
The ass. Yeah, it's the ass.
It's got to be the ass.
It always is.
It's like, in the end, I mean, Charles Barkley made a career out of his ass. So there's no doubt to me, the round mound of rebound, the big dumper, and everybody else knows it. I got to go Corbin Carroll, even though I don't think it's – I looked at the fact that he scored 121 runs. He still hit like 230. I mean, that's amazing to me. We shit on Carroll all last year, Mike, for most of the season. Thought he was hurt, thought his shoulder was dead, but he still put up some stupid numbers. And if he's healthier now and this team's better offensively, I'm going Carroll.
He had a much better second half last year, too. The first half was terrible, but the second half, he really came on strong. So I agree with this. This is for me. It's a slam dunk Corbin Carroll for me. I just think you're going to, if anything else, you're going to get the runs, the stolen bases, and some pop, too. I mean, this people forget he's a small dude, but he's got legit 20, 30 homer pop and can do that. So
batting average might be the difference here. That's the only thing. I could see that.
I don't know, though, because here's the thing. They both had Tale of Two Cities back to our Charles Dickens here, there, Britton.
Are you guys talking Charles Dickens? All right, cool.
Yeah,
Christmas Carol.
The Robert De Niro movie version is terrible, but
yeah,
it's a good book.
But they both had weird seasons last year, and Carol still provided that safe floor that you got, right? Versus Julio Rodriguez, who was kind of bad, not bad, but not Julio Rodriguez numbers, first round, third overall pick numbers. So for me, it's Corbin Carroll. I think he's just, I think you're getting the minimum that runs in the stolen bases and the homers. So, Britton, do you feel strongly about either of these guys here between Carroll and J-Rod?
Yeah, I would just reiterate everything you guys have already said. Corbin Carroll would be my pick there. Better, yeah. Faster, better team context, better place to hit. Arizona is a great place to hit.
Agreed.
So, plus I get to go to Colorado, and Seattle sucks. Not the city. The
Coors. The
hit in Seattle is tough, right. Unless you're Cal Raleigh with you know, muscles.
They gave us grunge, though. That was cool.
Yeah, that's a great point. I love some Nirvana. So, but yeah, Corbin Carroll.
All three? Wow, three say Carroll. Yeah, okay, I thought maybe you'd go J-Rod. All right. Before we get to the next one, Mike, I do want to give Anthony some love. He's always diehard in the chat. An AL-only auction. I have $170 to spend. And Britton, this is where you come in as our auction expert. I have $16. He has $16? $16 Witt. He has a $16 Bobby Witt. How much would you pay for Judge? I asked Britton last night the same question. So he has $170 to spend, and he also says that some of the guys are willing to spend $70 for Judge in this league. AL only. So this is even more valuable of a superstar.
It's a great question. $170 to spend, and you've got Witt. So you've got a great price on Witt on an only league like that. Like, life is good. So
how did you get him at $16?
Great job.
It must have been like he got him before he blew up and then kept him at a price. That's my only guess on that. Because he's getting these guys in the AL-only drafts, which are way ahead in the minor leagues. He's talking about deep, deep cuts. So he must have had Witt coming up in the minors.
That's my thing, too.
AL-only auction, so, I mean, what do you think, Mike V? I think you spend whatever it takes, right? Is there any...
If you're pairing Judge and Witt together, I mean, that's a solid 1-2 punch right there. And if he's going for $70, which I believe is what he said in a previous chat, and you have that budget, I'd look to get him for sure. I'm certainly not going to go probably too much higher than that because obviously we need to address other areas of your team. But if Judge can even get a smidge of when we think we talked about it on last week's show, having that year again is going to be hard to do, but I'm still willing to pay that premium to get the arguably the most elite power bat of them all in a great lineup with the Yankees too, despite losing Juan Soto. So, I think what I'm willing to spend and what you're going to have to spend are completely two different things, right? So,
yes. If
league mates are saying that's going to cost him 70, I'd imagine he's probably going to go for 80. So, and there's going to be, I would pay that.
That's two superstars in AL, though. Then you just pay a dollar for everybody else because it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Love it. But by the way, I have my Tout Wars auction in New York City in person next weekend in 8 days. So
nice, dude.
That'll be exciting. 12-team head-to-head auction. Looking forward to that one. Live from Manhattan.
Nice, dude. That'd be fun. All right. Next one here, getting back to the two little mice here. I know Britton's answer. Kyle Schwarber or Brent Rooker?
Two little mice.
What's Britton's answer?
I've been beating the Brent Rooker drum for a year now. He helped me win two leagues last year. I drafted him and Marcelo Zuna, both of whom hit about 300. So they helped the batting average. They helped home runs. Rooker stole some bases, too. So I'm a big Brent Rooker fan. He helps every category. He's going to be hitting in a Triple-A ballpark. I like Schwarber too, but that batting average kind of brings you down a little bit. But he's a great power hitter, and I think this is a Schwarber walk year. So I like Schwarber, but I like Brent Rooker better. What do you think, Michael Govier?
Oh, boy, this is another one, a true life. Two Little Mice conundrum.
Two Little Mice.
I sat there in the Razz Slam. Now, Razz Slam is a best ball, and that's different, right, Britton? Because we can take guys who might pop, and they also need guys who walk a little bit more. But both these guys walk well, and they're both UT, Schwarber and Rooker, right? So they have very similar profiles, except the batting average. But I'm just not sure that Brent Rooker's going to hit 293 again. I have to see it to believe it. That's the only thing I'm concerned about, because otherwise I think this is a dead heat. But the batting average looks to be the difference maker. So I was torn and torn and torn. Somebody took Rooker. I waited, and it forced my hand, and I got stuck to Schwarber. So I guess I got to live with what I did. I took Schwarber.
Well, Schwarber's good for points. Like, Razz Slam is a best ball points
site.
So Schwarber is more valuable in a points league. But in a roto league like in TGFBI, then I think Rooker is the way to go.
He's going to hit 290 again? Or you think he's going to hit, like, 275?
I think he's going to hit 290 again.
Wow.
A lefty power bat, 325 to right field where they're hitting in California. I think he's going to crank it all season. I'm a big Brent Rooker fan.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think he's going to get outfield eligibility too, because he's going to play in the outfield. They've already said that. Yeah, whereas Schwarber ain't playing anywhere other than DH. Yeah.
Little first base at spring training. Little first base, maybe. Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
That'll be Harper's job. But yeah. I could see him getting a couple starts there. For me, it's Brent Rooker as well. Now, again, team context and also your formats and where you're playing at. When I say team context, I'm talking more so about the A's versus the Phillies. But and OBP formats too, Schwarber is a stud, always has been. The batting average is something left to be desired, obviously, because he's a sub 200 guy. He's like Cal Raleigh, but with more power and better OBP. But
he got back to 248 last year.
He did. I think that's probably a little bit of an outlier. I don't think Brent Rooker's going to hit 290 again. I think he's more of a 260, 270 guy myself.
Right.
But I think the power will still be there as well. But you're getting a better batting average with Rooker. You're getting roughly around the same amount of home runs and the RBIs. So I like Rooker here slightly. But again, if I need OBP, I wouldn't mind taking Schwarber there.
Anthony says I can come to his house in New York City because he lives there, and I can help him with his auction that day. Great. I actually need a place to stay, so I'm not kidding. I might hit you.
The barter system.
Listen, I wish this was all bullshit, but we were 7 days, 8 days away from the Tout Wars draft, and I still don't have accommodations for New York City. I don't have a transportation arrange.
So they got they got plenty of hotels over there. No worries.
I'll just sleep on someone's floor. I don't care. Just got to get the draft done. Nothing like an auction and then live draft. Those are the best, man. Real time, live in person. So.
Hey, it's my turn to pick on TGFBI. Do y'all want to?
Hey, let's see it.
I won't drag it out because I know who I want. Luckily, he's still there. But just to give it some context, excuse me one second. Add to stage, probably. There we go.
Nice. Nailed it.
Is that, can y'all see?
It is. Yeah, that's good. That's progress.
All right, there I am, Team 13, the team in front of me. Now,
I
want
A's.
A second base. I'm going to pick a second baseman because you look at second base, and it is ugly. And all the good second basemen have gone. And the two teams behind me, Funnel and Thorberg, they don't have second basemen. So if
our boy Davey Funnel, Fantasy Dave, Beat. Yeah,
shout out, Dave. He was. We did that pod with him. Yep. Great guy. But so you can see the second baseman on the other team: Stott, Went, Holiday, Andre.
We'd love to get Stott. I like Stott a lot.
Yeah, Terang, Bogarts, Garcia. I mean, they're all gone, and it's a weak pool anyway. So my pick is going to be our boy Brandon Lau.
Mike Virginia special.
That's right. Do not call me low.
Genius, genius, genius.
Well done.
Love it, buddy. Love it, love it, love it.
So that'll be my pick if I could.
Short porch Yankee Stadium style. The return of Brandon Lau.
I'll have to back him up with somebody later because he's obviously injury prone. But it'll probably be like, I don't know, like a – like Edmundo Sosa for the Phillies, somebody random like that that'll play every day, you know.
Whit Merrifield.
Oh God, you know he's gonna sign soon. It's gonna happen, just like Jose Quintana signed the other day. The Brewers, these guys get in there and they're gonna get in our way and annoyingly block some young prospect we want to see play. But that's how vets do it. Vets got a vet.
Exactly. Vets got a vet. That's right.
All right, who's next, Mike?
All right, next one we got here: Colton Cowser or Lane Thomas. So,
how do you decide?
Yeah, it's a tough one here. Lane Thomas didn't have the best season when he went back to, or when he went to Cleveland. Not the Lane Thomas season that we thought he was going to have. Colton
Cowser, his MCL too, by the way. That is important. Yeah.
Colton Cowser is somebody a lot of people are high on. I know Uncle Ted likes him as well. I like him too. There's been a lot of bold takes I've seen floating around on Twitter with Colton Cowser. So, but for me, if he can start to hit lefties and play hit lefties better, I think Colton Cowser might be the pick here. But I think you get more speed from Lane Thomas. So not that I think about it more, I think Lane Thomas is going to give you that power speed combo that if he can get back to stealing, because how many bases did he steal last year? Nine? Or that's his Cowser here. Sorry. I think Lane Thomas still ended up stealing 30 bases last year. So I think you can get a 20-30 season out of Lane 32? Thomas. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities with Lane Thomas. So hopefully now a little bit more comfortable in that lineup. But you can see he went 15-30. So a 20-30 season is not out of the realm of possibilities. I think batting average, you probably get a little bit more from Cowser. This is a tough one.
It's so tough. It's so hard, dude.
Give me the upside.
What's the X factor? What's the difference maker here to make the choice? That's what I don't know.
Like I said, I think if you need stolen bases, you go Lane Thomas. But I think everything else, I might lean Cowser. So give me Cowser here. And I am being a homer. I will admit that. Britton, what about you, buddy? What do you think here? Colton Cowser, Lane Thomas.
I'm going Colton Cowser. Even though Lane Thomas is from Knoxville, Tennessee, but Colton Cowser, I really like because he bats fifth for the Orioles. Former number one first-round draft pick, Colton Cowser. He's going to play every day. And I love the fact that he has a group of fans in Baltimore that dress up as cows.
So fun. So fun.
And Lane Thomas, you know, God bless you, but you don't have a cow fan section. So I'm sorry.
Is it Cowser's herd? Is that what they call it?
It's the herd. That's exactly right.
All right. Good.
They're out there grazing.
Grazing the grassland, baby, and you dig it.
I mean, how can you not get excited about a bunch of people dressing up as cows? So
I'd be that guy.
I've never been the guy who took his shirt off at the game or did any of that weird shit, but I would do it. I just never had anybody ask me.
Yeah, well, see, this is a great opportunity. Like, if you're Colton Cowser and you go out in the outfield and you see a bunch of people wearing cow costumes, I mean, you're going to just give it your all, because you're like, I gotta perform, because these people are literally wearing cow outfits in my honor.
It motivates most of the country of India. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're mooing left and right. That's the other thing.
Mooing. That's right. Yeah. Hey! Who doesn't love chocolate milk? It's delicious. Yeah. Give me the cows.
This is a silly question, by the way. Kyle Bradish have value in dynasty leagues? Yeah, of course he still has value. He'll be back eventually. In fact, he has more value in dynasty than redraft this year.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Do you feel strongly either way there with Cowser and Lane Thomas? I mean, you went Cowser, so I feel like you.
I got them both, though. I went Cowser first, but I got them both. So,
but you had to pick between the two at one point, though, and you picked Cowser over Lane Thomas, though, right?
That is 100% a fact. I cannot deny that at all. I will lock that in. I guess your summation about, because I looked at their walk rates. I looked at how hard they hit the ball. I'm like, oh, who has a better OPS? Cowser slightly more OPS, but yes, more stolen bases for Lane Thomas. But Lane Thomas has never hit above 268 in a full season. So you can't really trust him to really crank up his batting average, I don't think, too much more than 270 at most. But Cowser can walk really, really well. And OBP, he's elite if he's the guy he should be. So I don't know. I took Cowser, I guess, but if you go either one of these guys, they're also both hitting. They're supposedly going to be like hitting fifth in their lineups too. So they're both in a similar spot when it comes to opportunity.
Yeah. I think Thomas steals more bases, but I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibilities with him too if he starts playing and hitting better against lefties that he can go 20-20 in that lineup. He's got a little bit of speed. Lane Thomas is a little bit better, but in terms of stolen bases wise, but you're talking about a guy who's 20-30 with a low batting average versus a guy that can go 20-20 with a respectable batting average. So it is a tough choice. So, but give me the upside and the short porch there in Baltimore if he starts cranking him out in left field, which is another.
That was another point, that this weird-ass fence that like goes in and out. It's weird. Yeah. It's a weird fence, but it will help Couser a bit. Also, one of the things I thought about was Lane Thomas in center field every day. They were going to maybe rely on him, and sometimes the Orioles like to fuck around. I don't know a better way to say it than they do. Right. Like to fuck around, especially with my boy Heston Kjerstad, who can't seem to get a chance. So that is something to at least consider. But I think Couser, if the Orioles knows what's best for them, they will play Couser every day and let him just break out.
Yes, agreed. Agreed 100%.
For all the cows. Next.
Exactly.
With the herd, of course. Yeah.
Shout out.
Can't go without the herd.
Oh, we got the water ASMR. We gotta get that in here, Gove.
Oh yeah, here you go. Here we go. Delicious. Canada's finest water.
There you go. Next one here, and this is I did a 3-3-1 here. So this is a three-headed monster.
Whoa! What are you doing us? What are we, a Triforce? Is this Zelda? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a great game, by the way. Ocarina of Time was one of the best video games ever.
Oh, so good. Created. I could do the whole soundtrack. I used to study listening to the soundtrack of that game. That's how good it was. Yeah. I loved it.
Awesome. Apparently, guys, I didn't know this, but Christopher Sanchez is winning the NL Cy Young this year. All you have to do is go on Twitter. Yeah, all you have to do is go on Twitter, and everyone's raving about this guy. So,
no shit.
Here it is. Here's a three. Oop, and I'm on the clock here in TGFBI.
Oh, bye.
Get into a minute. Christopher Sanchez, Zach Eflin, Jackson Jobe. Who are you taking of those three? And it's worth
saying it again.
Christopher Sanchez, Zach Eflin, Jackson Jobe. Christopher Sanchez goes ahead of both of those guys. Who are you going with, Britton?
I'm going Christopher Sanchez. I'm a believer. Shane Belieber and Christopher Sanchez. Gubby, I don't know if you can pull up his StatCast page.
Coming up right now. That's sure. I hear he's pretty good. I saw you drafted him on your team, too, when you were doing your live draft. I saw your draft board. So he's on your squad?
He's on there. He was my last pick. I was happy to get him. Brendan Fought went a pick ahead of me, and I was worried that it was going to be Christopher Sanchez, but it wasn't. It was Brendan Fought. So,
don't you love that? I love those breaks.
Hey, because, you know, like I saw it, and I saw it was a pitcher, and I was like, oh, no. but, no, it was.
What's that blue area of his stat? That looks blue. Uh-oh. There's one blue area. Cancel him.
It's the K.
Yeah. Okay. So 2023, the 99 innings pitched, 96 strikeouts, a 3.4 ERA, and a 1.05 whip. That was 2023. Last year, he doubled his innings pitched, 181, nice. with 153 strikeouts. So the strikeouts took a little bit of dip. But his ERA went down. His whip went up a little bit. He's 28 years old. He's a lefty. He actually pitched today against, was it the Pirates, I think? Yeah. And I watched a little bit of it. I like everything about him. He doesn't walk anybody. They can't barrel his pitches up. I wish he had more Ks, but you can't have it all in, you know, round 12 or 13 or wherever you have to draft him. So Aaron Nola is their number one. So, you know, Christopher Sanchez for the Phillies, you know, gets to play against the other team's third starter or whatever it is. So, yeah, I like Christopher Sanchez a lot. And
lanky.
Yeah, he's a tall feller, 6'1", 6'2". But I don't know. Jackson Jobe looks great, too. I'm not a Zach Eflin fan, but what do you think?
No, what's the Eflin problem for you, though, real quick?
Let me pull him up. Excuse me. To be honest, I just never draft him, so I don't know.
Okay, you're not. Well, Eflin gets hurt. That's the problem, so that's kind of a bummer. But when he's healthy, his ratios, last two seasons, 2 years ago, we said he was going to be good. I did. And then last year was Jack Flaherty was this year's Zach Eflin, and last year's Zach Eflin wasn't as good. So now we're at 2025, and he plays for Mike's Orioles still, so he should bounce back. Does that make sense? I don't know if it does.
Yeah, no, he looks good. You're right. I just never really think about him, to be honest, but he had a 3.59 ERA.
I love that total truthful analysis.
165 innings pitch, 130. You know, he's fine. Plays for the Orioles, obviously that's good. But see, you've got Jackson Jobe for the Tigers, right? So is he going to break camp in the starting rotation?
I don't see it. I don't see that happening. It doesn't. Everything is pointing to Maeda will get the fifth spot to start the year right now. It really is. Because why? Money. That's it. He signed that deal, and he's been better in spring. He's healthy. They don't want to bring up Jobe right away. They want to hold him down, limit him, keep service time shit, all that stuff. So you have to factor that in if you're playing in Roto. If you're playing in head-to-head, maybe you don't care as much. You just carry Jobe for the time being until he can play ball for you every day and then win you weeks.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, safe to say then, Gove, you're going with Sanchez as well?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Zach Eflin.
Okay.
And I know he breaks people's hearts with his injury woes, but last year was rough. He's coming in fresh from what I can tell. Nothing major holding him back so far that I've read. Mike, you're the Orioles guy, right? So we haven't heard.
Yeah.
All signs point to health right now. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at a guy and give you a 330 ERA with a 115 whip, maybe less. So I think even though Christopher Sanchez looks promising and I'm just going to be a contrarian because everyone says he's going to win the Cy Young. So I'm going to say Eflin in this one for that reason.
Nobody's saying that. I was making an exaggeration.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm screwed. I'm stuck here.
No, some have said it, but there's a lot of hype. It feels very, you guys ready for this? I'm ready for it. I'm ready
to
get blown away out of my computer here in a second. This feels very Reed Detmers to me. I'm kidding.
Wow, dude.
The Sanchez for me, the only thing that really scared me last year was the away splits. I find this interesting too, guys, and something I want to bring up really quick before I get into my TGFBI pick. I've noticed with a lot of things, you can make an argument for any player, both good and bad, why you're in, why you're out, right?
Yes.
And somewhere in between that. But when I brought up, and I was talking to people on Twitter about it, he had over a 5 ERA on the road last year, and most pitchers pitch better at home than they do on the road. But those road splits are what scared me a little bit. And quickly people move the goalposts and say, well, I don't care about the away splits. I just care about this instead. I'm like, okay, fair, because that's the same thing on my side of it as well. But that's something we can't overlook, right? Like, yeah. Is that a stat that you guys look at when you're evaluating a pitcher? He was great at home. Phenomenal. I owned some Christopher Sanchez shares last year. But to have that 5 ERA on the road, is that something that you guys look at when you're evaluating a starting pitcher?
Only if it's an extreme home park where you really want to take notice of it. Because unless you see a trend throughout the person's career where they just seem to pitch a lot better at home for being comfy because they got their favorite socks at home and they can't bring them on the road, or whatever the hell it is, I don't look at it too much. I'll notice it for a season, but I'll always consider it when we talk about radical parks for offense. Otherwise, I don't give a shit.
Okay. What about you, Britton?
Yeah, I look at it, but mainly what I look at is walks. Like, mm-hmm. That was one of the reasons, like, I love George Kirby, and I'm sorry he got injured.
Oh, say a prayer.
Yeah, that's tough news. But that dude never walked anybody. He pounded the zone, and so I like players that the walk rate, the K rate, and so that's kind of why I like Chris.
I was Reagans and Kirby torn in the TGFBI draft. I took Reagans, but I was really, really this close to taking Kirby. Now, luck of the draw. When you talk about luck in fantasy baseball, that's kind of luck you need.
Yeah. Hey, Govier, the exact same thing happened in my draft. I took Reagans, and the next pick was Dave, and he took Kirby.
There it is.
Yeah.
I would have gone. They're both. Reagans' X factor was his K's.
So the other thing with Sanchez for me, and I'm just bringing this up really quick, and I promise I'll move on. His opponent batting average on the road is 307 versus 222 at home. That's a pretty sizable jump, though. No?
Does this happen every year, or is this just last year? Because he's only pitched to the majors a couple of seasons, so we don't have like a deep record, right?
No. I'm looking at his 2023. He actually pitched better on the road in 2023 than he did at home. in terms of opponent batting average and ERA. He pitched a lot better on the road than he did at home. So,
I mean,
I guess I'm trying to say with him too, that kind of that scares me off a little bit is these guys, and I got burned by this flame last year with Wyatt Langford, is we get these very buzzy guys. Reed Detmers was, I'm not comparing the player, I'm just comparing the hype. If you guys remember, everyone was talking about his spin rates, his fastball, and then he came out and laid an egg. I'm not saying Christopher Sanchez is going to do the exact same thing, but
yeah,
it seems very buzzy for me where, again, if his draft price is going to continue to climb and I have some reservations, I'm going to let somebody else draft him and I'll take a sure thing in Eflin or somebody else like that. So I hope I'm wrong. I don't own any shares of Christopher Sanchez yet, but I think there's guys I'd just rather have over him is basically what I'm trying to say.
I fell for Reed Detmers hype.
Yep.
I fell off the cliff.
I'm not done. I'm still in. I'm still waiting for him to finally figure it out. I'm still waiting for Detmers to figure it out, Britton. I'm not done.
Remember that he had that one like 20K game?
Yep.
Like, yeah, he threw a no-hitter.
Yeah. And then you forget about the 6 earned run game that he had a week later, you know?
Yeah. It's a sad story, Detmers. All right, we're live. TGFBI pick. Mike Virginia on the clock.
That's right. So I'm at team 9 here. Gov, we went over it earlier, but this is my team. Drafted Soto. Same thing. Starting pitcher is very strong for me, I feel like, with Wheeler, Snell, and Aaron Nola. Mm-hmm. Alexis Diaz here.
Simeon. Simeon might be having more days off this year. Wah, wah.
It was tough between – I'm pointing at the computer screen like you guys can see my fingers. I was struggling between him between Semien, McClain, and Westberg. And I don't know, dude. I've always had a thing for Semien. I looked at his 2023 stats, and I think the Rangers as a whole just had a bad year last year. So hoping that he can get back to the Semien uphold. Yeah, exactly. It was really hard for me to pass up on Matt McClain right here. So,
you're going to regret that one. I'm going to lock this in now and say that you will regret taking Semien over McClain. Mark it down. March 7th, 8:23 p.m.
Yeah. Vinny Pasquantino, Aaron Nola, Royce Lewis. I have them both in the Palazzo Podcast Invitational and here. So, and then Alexis Diaz, Jack Flaherty, and Justin Martinez. So you can see the guys that have gone off the board. Paul Goldschmidt, Kodai Senga, Tommy Edman. I don't have a lot of speed on this team. Okay. Really none at all. So.
Well, Acuna, depending what he does, and Semien, if his speed days are over, you're right. You're in trouble. And Royce Lewis. By the way, people think Royce Lewis has speed. He doesn't steal bases anymore.
Yeah. He won't. So on the board, I don't have a catcher yet. I don't have a shortstop yet. I have a lot of pitching, so I'm going to address the hitting side of the coin here. Catchers right now available: Austin Wells, Keibert Ruiz, Sean Murphy, Connor Wong, and then in terms of shortstops. I'm really screwed here, but you guys are going to laugh. Don't hurl things at the screen. Trevor Story is still there. Tyler Fitzgerald, Zidane Rafaela, who can give me some speed there as well. So
better than Fitzgerald than Story.
Yeah. Kevin Gausman's still out here, which I like, but I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to address another arm here. So I definitely
need Wheeler, Nola, Flaherty. You might need another starter actually. You got Snell too.
Yeah. So what do you guys think here? Do you think catcher? Do you think shortstop?
Shortstop, because you've already waited this long on catcher, and I think at this point, if you get a catcher in the next 2 to 3 rounds, there'll be minimal difference compared to shortstop, Britton. What do you think?
I was thinking catcher, because is this TGFBI?
Yeah. TGFBI.
Okay, so you got to play 2 catchers. Now, when you've waited on this long, I would assume you're kind of hoping for Keibert Ruiz and Ivan Herrera, because everybody else is just
that's who I'm on.
Yeah, everybody else is going to kill your batting average and not give you much back in return. Right. So I would go ahead and grab a catcher, because let's see, which way are you going, Mike? Are you going to the left or to the right?
To the right. Yeah.
All right. So look at the teams to the right. Do any of those guys need catcher? Because it could be a situation where if you don't grab one of those guys, some other team will.
1, 2, 3 teams don't even have a catcher. So that's a good point by Britton. You might see a run of a couple guys. Is Connor Wong available?
He is.
I really like Connor Wong a lot.
Austin Wells is available. His ADP is at 198, and I'm at pick 189 right now. So I don't know if you guys like him, but he's a 229
in Dynasty,
average last year.
Yeah, in Dynasty I traded away Max Muncy for Austin Wells, but that's Dynasty bigger picture. But I do like Wells a lot.
Hey, you know what you could do is you could later on, you could get Luis Angel Acuna, and then you could have double Acuna action.
Acuna. Bizza says Story or Wells. That's his pick.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to take Story this high. I think I can wait a little bit longer. If anybody's watching who's in my league, I'm pretty much giving up my draft strategy here. So,
it's for the people, Mike. We do this for the people.
We're selfless human beings at the Palazzo Podcast. Yeah. Two L's, two Z's.
Utah. Give me
so
two.
I could take Kiber Ruiz here, but going back to shortstop, how do you guys feel about Sidan Rafaela and Tyler Fitzgerald, who do offer some speed here?
I don't like the Rafaela's hitting ninth. That's my only problem. Yeah. That's my only bummer. I love his talent. He has a future there, but hitting ninth is a bummer. I'd like to get a guy. I think I'd take Tyler Fitzgerald. I don't think it was a fluke. I know he strikes out a lot, so it could be a candidate for regression. I do understand that. I'm scared of Fitzgerald in that respect because of the strikeout percentage. But if he can play a full season, he could steal 30-plus bags. That's nice. You do need speed. Mm-hmm. And I trust him to be in the lineup more safer foundation in the lineup for San Francisco than Rafaela's. A lot of competition in Boston, just saying.
Yeah. Burton, how do you feel about that between Tyler Fitzgerald and Sidan Rafaela?
I go Sidan Rafaela because he's going to play every day in center field because he's an elite defender. And he's good at second base too. So if there's an injury or whatever, Rafaela is going to rack up more plate appearances than Tyler Fitzgerald, I believe.
And Fitzgerald's getting second base because he's only going to play second this year because Adames is there.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think Fitzgerald had a hot month or two. I was talking to Casey Bubba about it, and Casey Bubba, who's a Giants fan, said, yeah, Fitzgerald sucks. I was like, okay. So Rafaela did it last year. He went 20-20, and although his metrics look bad, he gets it done. He's just one of those guys that just outperforms all that stuff. So I think you'll probably get better stats, especially if you need stolen bases out of Rafaela.
Yeah. This is tough here, guys. I could take Kiber Ruiz and follow right behind you here, Gove.
Not a bad idea. I'm telling you, this guy is a super, super prospect, part of the big package that they got from the Dodgers a couple years ago. I think his time is now to break out. His average could be much better than 230 average. Don't get fooled by that 230 batting average.
Now, I could take a middle infield spot and take Michael Garcia or Nico Horner in this spot here, too, to address the stolen bases as well.
Ooh, I would absolutely rather take one of those guys now that you're bringing them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horner is being dismissed because he's been hurt, but he's going to be ready to go for the regular season. You know, he won't get power, but runs, steals. The guy steals 30 bases every year. That's almost a lock to hit 275, too.
Yeah. What do you think there, Britton, between what are the guys I've mentioned, or do you take it? I need to fill my MI spot so I can go Michael Garcia, who also steals bases, or go Nico Horner.
I would go Garcia. I'm worried about Nico Horner. Like he's injured, right? He's going to start the year in the IL, I believe. Or
he's going to miss the series in Japan, but he should be ready to go in April from what I gather.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I thought he was going to start the year off on the IL. But if he's just missing that series, then I like Nico.
All right,
but,
guys.
Well, yeah, I think Garcia's awesome. I really like Garcia hit the shit out of the ball, but he went down 10% in hard hit rate from 23 to 24. So if he can get that back, and they let him play all year to figure it out too, so it shows you they believe in Garcia. I like Garcia a lot too.
Guys, are you guys watching live here?
I'm ready.
Yeah, you taking him?
Oh, he did it. He pulled the trigger on Nico Horner. We'll find
Way
out
to go,
if
Nico.
I'm going to have to eat shit on that one. Oh, Brandon Nimmo, no!
Went right after. It looks like in a auto draft part of it. But Adam Ronis is in my league here, Grove. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I know Ronis. Yep. Yeah. Also, Scott Genstad's in your league. Scott Genstad, an elite player, really, really good player. And he was in my main event a couple years ago. Anybody else? Nobody I recognize.
Yeah. But yeah, so this
Chris
is
Deary's in my Red Slam, my former partner. That was fun.
Yeah. He is in my Palazzo League. So.
Yeah, that's right. It's the old versus the new, Virginia versus Deary. We need to have like a wrestling promo set up for this to find out who takes down this league.
Dude, I love that. That's good.
Hey, gentlemen, I apologize. It's 7:30. I have got to run.
I got to go too. I have to go too. I got to do another show. I got to do V for Vendetta. So Excited to find out if V for Vendetta holds up or not for me. This has been so much fun. Palazzo Podcast, two L's, two Z's. Follow Britton, follow Mike Virginia, follow me. We'll be back with more. Britton's going on spring break, so everybody wishing well. Happy vacation to Britton. We'll turn it over to who, Britton?
Lucky Jack Aubrey, baby.
Bye, bye, bye.
All right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun. Quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
It's Jamie Foxx. At BetMGM, everyone gets a welcome offer. Get up to $1,500 in bonus bets when you sign up if your first bet doesn't go your way. You know I love a good welcome. Hey there, friends. I'm here to treat you right with BetMGM. A warm welcome to our new customers. I see you out there. I know you got what it takes, so take out that phone, tap that BetMGM app, and bet, baby. You know what it is. There's a bonus bet waiting for you. Oh, that's the good stuff. Get on in here. Get your welcome offer and play with the sports book born in Vegas, where they know how to treat you right. Download BetMGM and bet.
See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369, New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The Jeep Celebration Event is your chance to start a brand new adventure with great deals on our legendary Go Anywhere, Do Anything SUVs, like the Grand Cherokee 4xe, our most capable Grand Cherokee ever, the Jeep Wrangler 4xe, our most capable Wrangler ever, or the Jeep Compass, our most affordable SUV. Hurry in for an exceptional offer during the Jeep Celebration Event and let the adventure of a lifetime begin. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.